The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Today, I'd like to talk about emotions and feelings. And I'd like to use these terms interchangeably and really make it's not really a difference for me, at least not for this talk. You know, in psychology, they're defined differently. But for this talk, it's all emotions and feelings. And as you might know, we can experience wholesome and unwholesome emotions and feelings. And wholesome is about that it's leading towards our own happiness and others' happiness, peace, and ease. In other words, it's leading us to less suffering. And unwholesome emotions and feelings are leading to more suffering, are leading away from happiness. Some examples of unwholesome emotions and feelings are anger, sadness, worry, anxiety, despair, to name a few. And some examples of wholesome feelings might be peace, happiness, gladness, excitement, wonder, ease. Of course, there are more, both categories. And today, I'd like to talk a little bit more about how can we deal with emotions and feelings that we usually don't really want, so the more unwholesome ones. And this can help us to learn and grow by dealing with them, by seeing them. We can also learn and grow from seeing the wholesome and beneficial emotions, but it's usually less hard for us to be with those. So, of course, we experience both. And if we experience the wholesome ones, then we can just enjoy them and also try to learn from them. When do they arise? What do they feel like? How can we savor them? But today I'd like to focus more on the unwholesome ones, like how can we deal with those? Now, Sharon Salzberg, a meditation teacher, she says, emotion is how our awareness relates to an object. End quote. So for example, if our partner yells at us, then we might feel anger arising in response. So our partner yelling is the object, and our relationship to this is the anger. Or when we see a puppy playing, we might feel joy. But the puppy playing is then the object, and our relationship to the object is joy. And when we think about our super long to-do list, we might feel discouraged. So this to-do list would be the object, and the relationship would be the discouragement. So the objects, like the to-do list, or the puppy, or the partner, are not necessarily the reason that the emotion or the feeling arises. It is how we are conditioned by the past that makes that this certain response arises. Because some people might feel fear when they see a puppy playing because they might be afraid of dogs. And some might feel just compassion when their partner yells at them because they know they don't really mean it that badly. So we all feel something different when we experience the same object. So it's usually not so much in the object, it's more in our response. And the response is something that we can get to know and we can work with. And getting to know our own conditioning and triggers can help us to gain more insight into ourselves. So we might learn that every time our partner yells at us, that anger arises. And that will give us some information about our own internal world. So we all regularly probably experience this whole range of emotions and feelings, like worry for a sick family member, or annoyance when we're bitten by a mosquito, or anxiety when we need to talk to our boss, or happiness when we are hanging out with friends, etc. And it is all part of the package as a human. Emotions are just a big part of our life. And emotions really color our moment-to-moment experience. So how do we know that an emotion or a feeling has arisen? Often we just kind of go through our life and we just take for granted that we feel emotions or feel feelings. But how do we know it's anger and not sadness, or happiness and not aversion? So if we start to get more familiar with emotions and feelings, then we can start to pay attention to the two components that they are made up of. And the first one is the body component, and the second is the mind component. And it's important to get familiar with both. Like, how does this emotion, how does anger, anxiety, despair, how does happiness feel in the body? And maybe we feel tightness in the chest, or heat in the belly, or swirling in the throat. Whatever it is, we can become a bit more familiar with how it actually feels in the body. And it can change also. Maybe one time anxiety feels like this knot in our belly, and the other time it might feel like this fluttering in the throat. And then we can also pay attention to how it manifests in the mind. Like maybe we think excessively when a certain emotion comes up, or maybe our thoughts might be really calm, or the mind might feel really heavy or light. And one method that can help us to get to know our emotions and our feelings a bit better, as well as help us to deal with them, is the acronym RAIN. You might have heard of that, RAIN. And so before I go a bit deeper into what each letter of RAIN stands for and how it can help us, I would like to briefly touch on, like, why would we actually want to pay attention to our emotions and feelings? I already said that a little bit, but sometimes we have this tendency to start to push away what is unpleasant. We really want to ignore it. We just want it to not be here. And maybe at times it can be a useful strategy, but most of the time it might be a bit more useful to welcome emotions and feelings, even the unpleasant ones like anger or sadness or anxiety, the ones that are a bit more difficult. Because these emotions and feelings often come forth out of our habits, tendencies, old conditionings, and these habits and tendencies can often spur automatic responses that might not be very beneficial to our self or others. So, for example, when someone cuts you off in traffic, you might have the tendency to always get angry and start yelling in your car. And when you start to see that over and over again, this conditioning, like, oh, wait, I'm yelling again at this person. We might at some point be able to pause ourselves before we start yelling, because we've seen it happen over and over again. We might still be angry, but we don't yell anymore. And then a little further down the line, when we start with this acronym RAIN and start to investigate it a bit more, we might at some point, you know, not even get angry anymore and be able to respond in a more equanimous way, a more balanced way. And that can all happen because we start to see and acknowledge our own emotions, in this case, the anger, and we see our behavior, the yelling in this case. So it helps us to not live in the dark anymore and to not live on autopilot anymore. So then in that case, we start to experience a bit more choice around our own tendencies and our own habits. And so the RAIN acronym can help us to make this happen, to learn and grow when emotions come up. So RAIN, for those who don't know yet, it stands for First, the R stands for recognize, the A for allow, the I for interest, and the N for nature. Maybe you recognize a little bit from the meditation. I guided the meditation a little bit in this way. Recognize, allow, interest, be interested, and it's just nature. And some of the letters also have multiple words attached to them. Some teachers use, for example, recognize for the R, and some use receive. That's one example. And today I want to explore those letters in more detail. And what's good to know is that we can use this acronym RAIN both during our formal meditations, like we did today a little bit, as well as in our daily lives, whenever we feel emotions and whenever we feel that it might be useful to use it. We don't have to use it like all the time. So first the R. The R can stand for recognize and receive, like I said. And I think actually maybe it might be useful to use both recognize and receive. Because first we recognize. And recognize is always the first step, because if we don't recognize what's happening, then yeah, we can't do anything further. So recognition is basically kind of mindfulness. We are just aware of what is happening. When is this happening? We can recognize, is there wanting? Is there aversion? Is there peace or okayness? It's just kind of a realization, this is happening right now. So without the recognition, we are basically living in the dark. And we are acting out these habitual tendencies that I was talking about. And when we recognize it, then we can start to receive the experience as well. So the word receive to me feels really inviting. Like I can just receive what is happening. And it's already here, so why not just receive it? Even if it's something that's a bit difficult. And the receiving part makes that we don't fight it as much anymore. That we can let it be there and open to what is already here. And Sharon Salzberg, again, the meditation teacher, he says, working with emotions sharpens our ability to recognize a feeling just as it begins, not 15 consequential actions later. We can then go on to develop a more balanced relationship with it, neither letting it overwhelm us so we lash out rashly, nor ignoring it because we're afraid or ashamed of it. End quote. So the recognition is the first step in our ability to have a more balanced relationship with our emotions and feelings. And if we don't recognize it, then there is this chance that we propel ourselves forward 15 consequential actions, like Sharon says, and those actions might be not so helpful. They might be harmful for ourselves or others. A very minor example is, but last week I had a few nights in a row that I didn't sleep well, and I was getting a bit cranky. At some point I started to recognize that crankiness, and I saw a bit more clearly that it was this result of feeling tired. And just seeing that, the crankiness and the tiredness, helped me to just receive those things, the crankiness and the tiredness both. And if the crankiness had stayed unnoticed, then I might have, lashed out at my partner, or I might have written my emails with an aversive undertone. So by recognizing it and receiving it, I could prevent that from happening. So that's the recognition step, the receiving step. And then the next step is to allow the emotion, the A in RAIN. It can also stand for accepting. Sometimes teachers say accepting. I will start with allowing. Now, sometimes allowing might feel really contradictory because we really want to fight this unpleasant, difficult emotion. We really don't want it. We really like to get rid of it. So maybe we recognized it, but then we rather have it gone. But often this wanting it gone results in more suffering, since we don't only have that difficult, unpleasant emotion, but we also have the aversion and the struggle towards it. And then possibly also this 15 consequential unhelpful actions that Sharon was talking about. So a bit smarter is to actually allow the emotions to be there. Allowing is a movement of wisdom. It's kind of relaxing around the emotion. It might still be very unpleasant, but there's not as much fighting anymore. And what we often need in order to allow is just to simply remind ourselves to allow. To remind ourselves to allow that the difficult emotion and the feelings are okay to be there. And the reminder might be enough. So sometimes we, you know, don't really want to allow it though. And maybe often it might work, but sometimes we might still fight it. We still just want it to go away. And what we can do then is to recognize that we are fighting the emotion. We are fighting it. We want it to go away. And we can try to allow that to be there. So we recognize first again the R, and then we allow the fighting to be there. We can just see, okay, there's fighting. Maybe I can allow the fighting to be there. So we just go to the stage where we're at. If we can't accept and allow what's going on, then maybe we can allow what is, that we're fighting it. So some teachers say accepting as the thing for the A in RAIN. And to me, accepting is a bit more active. Like we have to do something, we have to accept it. And that's why I prefer allowing this more receptive. But I'm mentioning the accepting here anyways, because for some people, it might be very useful to consciously kind of have the intention to accept, because we're all a little bit different in our conditioning. So it might be very helpful. So if you feel like using accepting, as the letter for A, then, you know, feel free to do that. You can also experiment what works for you. And then we get to the I in RAIN, which stands for interest. And that is about being interested in your emotions and feelings. Interested in what's actually happening. How does this feel in my body? Where do I feel it? Is it in the chest, the belly, the throat, the head? Is it somewhere else? Is it more energetic? Is it throbbing, burning? Is there pressure, fluttering? Is there coldness? Is there heat? So we can notice all these different details around it. And sometimes we're not so much in touch with our body. And so it can take some, you know, practice to see, oh, where do I actually feel it? What do I feel in the body? Sometimes just doing some body scans might help you to become more in touch with the body. And then you can start to notice, oh, wait, this emotion expresses like this. This anger feels like this throbbing in my chest, for example. Doesn't have to be like that. And sometimes we can't even find the right words. Maybe it's not really throbbing, maybe it's something else, but we can't really, you know, pinpoint what it is. But we really feel it though in the body. We feel the quality directly in the body without words. And that's fine too, because we have the direct experience. So we don't need to always have the word ready. So how does it feel in the mind? We can be interested about that. Like, are there a lot of thoughts connected to this emotion? Maybe thought trains just explode because of this emotion. Maybe there are certain stories that we keep telling ourselves that might perpetuate this emotion. Like when this person is cutting us off in traffic, maybe we have this whole story about people shouldn't be cutting me off in traffic. Maybe we think like, oh, all these people are just stupid people, and I'm a good driver and they're not, etc. You know, we can really recognize those stories. And this can all give us information and insight. And this curious, it's a kind of a curious, gentle attitude that we can cultivate. And that will help us to feel a bit more open towards the meta, towards the emotion. And we might possibly start to learn a bit more about our own hearts and minds and bodies this way. And we might see those patterns, habits, tendencies play out. Maybe we see those stories, maybe we see the old conditioned habits, etc. When I was meditating in Myanmar some years ago, I remember there was a lot of sound in the monastery. Sound from speakers, both from the neighborhood, like just music, as well as like chanting monks and stuff from other monasteries. And there were these birds chirping. There was a lot of construction sounds. It seems to be that every monastery is in construction all the time. So I remember that after some weeks in the monastery, I started to feel really bored with the same kind of sounds over and over and over. Oh, there's a construction sound again. Oh, there's this bird, the same bird again. And there's this same music that they played over and over again in the village. It was just so boring. So at some point, I started to recognize that there was this thought pattern causing this boredom. It went something along the lines of like, oh no, there's that same boring sound again. I've heard this a zillion times. I've been aware of this a zillion times. How many times do I need to be aware of this? And I noticed that this thought pattern kept this boredom going. There was no interest anymore. It just felt boring. So interest, curiosity can really help us to see, you know, what's maybe underneath it. And it can also be a very good antidote to boredom. And so the last letter in RAIN is N, which stands for nature, or sometimes teachers use non-identification. And to me, nature means that emotions and feelings are part of our human nature. They are just part of the deal of being a human. So they just come and go in our experience. That's just the way our human lives work. And seeing that clearly can help us with accepting, can help us with allowing, which is the second letter of accepting and allowing in RAIN. So, you know, it's kind of a realization, yes, of course, this is just part of being a human being, this emotion. We all experience anger and anxiety and despair. And what I said in the meditation, it's just like the weather outside. Sometimes we have sun, sometimes clouds, sometimes storm, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's warm. And so the same internally. It also changes internally our weather system. Sometimes we feel uplifted, sometimes we feel at ease or peaceful, sometimes we feel disheartened or anxious or angry. So this metaphor kind of points to that our inner weather system is just as natural as the outer weather system. We might not like the storm outside, but you know, you're not going to fight it. It's just there. You know, it's pointless to fight it. So just like that, our inner storms also just come up. And fighting them is just pointless too. And just as the weather outside constantly changes, so does our inner weather constantly change. And whatever difficult thing we're going through, it's not going to last forever. It will change again. Like probably you don't feel the same right now as when you woke up this morning. You don't feel the same as last Saturday or 2 years ago. Maybe you don't even feel the same as when you started this meditation and Dharma talk gathering. And knowing this, that it will change again, we know that from our own experience, can help us get through whatever is unpleasant, whatever is difficult. It can give some relief, like, oh yeah, this is not gonna last. It will pass again. So seeing this changing inner landscape is part of life. And it can help us to not grasp as much anymore. Not grasping could be like both the pushing away and the trying to hold on to it. And when we are more receptive, we're not so much grasping. And then a little bit of ease around this unpleasantness and difficulty can arise. And this ties into the other interpretation of the letter N, which is non-identification. Non-identification points to that we don't have to identify with our emotions and feelings. They are just passing visitors in our human experience, like the weather. When we feel angry, it's not that we are anger or our complete self is anger. What's happening is that just a storm is visiting. A few minutes later, we might feel something completely different. So that is RAIN. Recognize or receive, the R, the A, allow or accept, the I, be interested, and the N, nature or non-identification. And we can use this whenever we feel like an emotion or feeling is not so beneficial for us, when it's not conducive to our happiness or peace. We can then start with recognizing and receiving what is happening. We can allow and accept the emotion or the feeling. We can be interested and curious, learn and gain insight into the emotion. And we can learn and gain insight into the conditions that might be associated with it, that might cause it. And lastly, we can see that the emotions and feelings are part of our human nature, and that they're just passing through. It's like meditation teacher Susie Harrington says, we can acknowledge, be with, and experience our emotions. And through this process of coming in contact with ourselves, we connect deeply with our truth, our hearts, and ultimately with others. Doing this can then bring us the capacity to respond and to do so wisely. End quote. So I do want to point out that the RAIN acronym can, of course, be very helpful in many situations. There are, you know, situations, however, that it might not be so helpful. And I want to point out that if you feel really overwhelmed by an emotion, it's really hard to be with the emotion, and maybe you're overcome by grief or something extremely difficult gets triggered, then, you know, receiving, allowing, being interested might not be so helpful. It might not be the best way to proceed. So if you do feel really overwhelmed, what often is more helpful is to find a neutral object first that you place your attention in. So for example, you can feel your feet on the ground or your buttocks on the chair if you're sitting. And then just stay with the sensations in the feet for a while. Really connect to the ground, place all your attention in that place of contact for maybe 5 or 10 seconds, and proceed with your buttocks, feeling the contact with the chair, or if you're on a meditation cushion, maybe there. Place all your attention in that place of contact for 5 or 10 seconds, and alternate between the feet and the buttocks until you feel that it was enough. Sometimes you can also include your hands on your legs. For example, rub your legs a little bit slowly and add that as a point of contact that you can add to the alternation between the feet and the buttocks. Sometimes Andrea uses the corner exercise. Maybe you're familiar with that. You just choose a corner in the room where you're in, or a place where two lines meet, any place where two lines meet, and just pay really close attention to this corner, to this meeting place of lines, and focus all your attention right there. And after some seconds, you can switch to the next corner or the next place where lines meet. And I used this once when I was really overcome by physical pain. It was like a 10 out of 10 kind of pain. It was so intense, and I couldn't just stay with it and observe it. And because it was in the body, it was really hard to stay with the body. So I remember this exercise, and it was really helpful that I could eventually kind of just be with it. So especially when something is happening in the body, the core exercise might be really useful. So it is kind of a distraction, like the core exercise or the body, going to the body, the feet and the buttocks and the hands. But in some cases, distraction is actually a good thing. So it can be really skillful to be to use distraction as a way to deal with things, especially when it's, you know, this kind of distraction that goes to a neutral object and not just, you know, binge watch Netflix or something like that. So yeah, just use it whenever you feel you need it, this technique of distraction. And there are more ways to distract ourselves. You can also be with a breath or do metta meditation, which is loving kindness meditation, if you're familiar with that. So the RAIN method, you can use this whenever you feel it's helpful. You don't have to use it on every single emotion that you encounter in your daily life or on the cushion. It's just whenever you feel it's skillful. And to know if it's skillful and helpful for you, you can start trying it out, start to experiment with it. And that way learn, like, oh, this in this case, it doesn't work. And in this case, it does work. Or now I'm using it way too much. It's becoming really this, you know, gray thing that's not working anymore. And you need to use it a little less, maybe. Or maybe you, after 3 weeks, you think, oh, wait, that RAIN method that this teacher is talking about, maybe I should use that. Then you know, okay, maybe I'll start using it now. And lastly, when you feel wholesome, beneficial emotions that are often really pleasant, just enjoy it and savor it and relax, sit back and just enjoy it, experience it as it is. And really take it in that something wholesome has arisen. And if you feel like it, you can always also use the RAIN method on wholesome emotions just to learn from them and to become more familiar with them. Yeah, it's up to you. If you feel like, oh, this is nice, maybe I'll try it out on a wholesome emotion. Sure, go ahead. And that's what I wanted to say for today. And there's some time left for some questions, or if you want to share something, yeah, feel free. You can unmute yourself. Yeah, Fred.
Thank you for your talk this morning. I found it, for me, very insightful as well as practical. And that's a nice combination. And and I especially liked, you know, your comments about how situations where RAIN may not work because of the intensity of the experience, and your suggestion of some things that might work there. So just a second question. Could you repeat the first quote that you gave from Sharon Salzberg? I think it had to do with how we feel in relation to an object.
Yeah, let me look it up for you. It's emotion is how our awareness relates to an object. Emotion is how our awareness relates to an object.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And yeah, it's good to hear, and it was helpful today. Any other sharings or questions, comments?
Hi, thank you. I also found the talk helpful. I'll just share one reflection that arose while you were speaking. I think it was just around the A of allowing and accepting, in particular in relationship to when there's difficult emotion, unpleasant emotion. Yeah, it just kind of, you know, I've heard that many times, but just kind of Yeah, just that reminder was really helpful. I think, yeah, part of what can happen, at least for me, is there can be sort of a, I can be so, part of the mind is trying to resolve a problem that it perceives, and there's some emotion there, frustration or just confusion in the example I'm thinking of, and it doesn't even occur to the mind, you know, to kind of take a step back and, like, you know, like in my example, I'm sort of thinking around, I guess it's sort of anxiety, like something in the future, and I don't quite know how it will play out. And there's some feeling like some tension around that. And then just the reminder that it would be possible basically to accept the whole thing and accept. Even, and part of it seemed to be like, except if the mind was sort of resisting like some possibility, like I really want it to happen that way, but it wasn't even so aware of that. And so all of its energy was, how can I make it happen that way? As opposed to, oh, this is stressful and maybe it's okay either way that it goes. So this is just me sharing my own process, but it kind of arose from, just that reminder about how powerful it can be when the mind sees it's possible to accept or allow something that it was resisting. So just wanted to share that.
Thank you. That's very powerful. Yeah. Just accepting, allowing the whole thing, including the confusion, including the stuff around it. The whole process that's happening in the mind, trying to figure it out and stuff. Yeah. Can all be allowed. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Anything else that comes up for you? Yeah, Fred.
I wanted to thank you for your comment early on about the concept of merit as being beneficial energy. I have not understood it in those terms before. Merit in our culture has a certain connotation of something we deserve or something we have worked for, you have given me a whole new and very, very wholesome understanding of merit, and I very much appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's cool. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's something, it's beneficial energies that just arise for us out of our wholesome actions, and we don't have to do anything special for that. Just meditating, even if we're like having a really hard meditation with a lot of difficulty, there's still beneficial energies coming up just because we're meditating, because our intention. So yeah, there's nothing much we have to do. So that's really great. Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
I found it a really interesting talk. A lot of things were very, very familiar to me, but still I think it's a lot to take in. At one hand, it seems very complicated. On the other hand, it's not, because it's all a circle within a circle, as I see it. But what for me was the most interesting thing, or I'd rather say something that I had to be reminded of, that was the I of the interest in what is happening in your body. I always forget the body when I'm meditating. I realize I have an ache or an itch or something, that's the body, but not what do I feel in the body with this emotion. That's something I never think of. So that was a very good reminder. That's the thing I learned from this talk. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. And it's very interesting. I mean, the when we start to tune into it, these emotions and feelings really have a body component. You can really feel it in the body, basically. And it can be really useful to just stay there for a while and be with the feeling in the body for a while before we go back to the mind experience. It give us a lot of insight and more grounding as well when we do that. Yeah, thanks for sharing. Yeah, and it can seem like a lot indeed, the whole thing, the whole brain. But it is indeed like it's all tied together. And it's kind of like what I didn't mention, but I can mention now, is that we don't have to do all four steps all the time. We can also choose like, oh, I'm going to just be with recognize and allow. Or maybe you recognize it and you just want to sparkle in a little bit of interest. Or at some point you might be like, you're always recognizing, that's kind of a mindfulness. So, but you're recognizing something and you think like, oh, it's just nature. You know, you just realize that just bringing the nature aspect in. Don't feel like you have to go through four steps. It's just, you can use any of them at any time.